Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are so glad that you are here with us. I'm excited for our conversation today. I'm here with none other than my friend, Pastor Brian.
Hey, glad to be with you today.
How you doing, Pastor Brian?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am very well. I want to shout you out because you are my friend, my brother, and I am grateful. As you notice, obviously, Pastor Dan is not here. And typically, Pastor Dan is on schedule unless he's ministering or he is out of town or whatever it might be. And so what that leaves us sometimes is sometimes we've scheduled our guests ahead of time. And sometimes we're like, oh, okay, Pastor Dan's not going to be here. And today you were walking by, or actually I just called you, and I appreciate you because you always take my call and you're always willing to jump in. And some of our guests like a lot of upfront time, but you know, because we could just talk.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think it's cool, and this is not the point of the podcast, but I think this is a testament to be able to have a brother in Christ, a friend that you know you can have a conversation with. And that's actually, it's a fruitful conversation.
Yeah.
So I feel like all of our conversations, there's an undertone of who we are, right? Meaning it's not like, oh, we shoot the breeze here and then we turn it on to talk Jesus stuff. Or we switch back and forth, but we're able to, I mean, there's just the undertone of, man, as brothers in Christ, as men of God, there's always a stream of health, other than when I'm clowning on you as a 49er fan. I'm a Raider fan.
Yeah, I don't even know how you can make godliness fun of anyone as a Raiders fan, but that's okay.
Well, that's the Raiders. That's just, you know, it's the fun part of being a Raider fan. Look,
you happy about Mendoza?
I am. I think it's exciting to see. Yeah. I think it's exciting to see what that looks like. I don't know.
I feel bad about being
a Raider
fan.
I'll be honest. I've tried to stop being a Raider fan.
Yeah, I would too.
Meaning, because like, oh, they left. They left. I mean, they left Southern California.
Is it blood in and blood out?
They left Southern California. They went back to Oakland. I was like, okay, look. And the thing, there's this thing in you. You feel kind of fake just trying to be on another team because they're just like, I can't. And then they went to Vegas, another excuse to try to not be. But then they got Derek Carr, and he's a believer, brother in Christ. I was like,
he's gone.
You cheer for people, but I tend to be more fans of players too. Like, yeah. So there's this part of me that likes to see the Raiders win, although they don't. but so then it's easier just to cheer for players.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, and then I this is what happened. And maybe this is, I don't know if this preaches in any kind of way. Maybe you can redeem this. I'll throw this up there. I had a friend growing up and they were kind of like obnoxious Niner fans. And so it just never left me. You just, you know, like there's people throw it. And I'm maybe an obnoxious Laker fan to people, but I'm a Laker fan.
I feel like that's probably going to get a lot of hate mail. But, you know, I feel like that's how Dodger fans are.
See, but I grew up on the Dodgers when we weren't good. I was like Mike Piazza, Brett Butler, Hideo Nome. Like I grew up when they were not good.
When
in
salary
the
cap comes to baseball, it's. We'll see what happens then.
No, I'll tell you what I'll say about the Dodgers, and I think there are kingdom principles here, is they have established a culture of championship winning. And so when people come to the Dodgers, you know what to expect. I think that I saw this clip where Dave Roberts, it was a post game, and they had this guy. They asked him a question. They're sitting around the locker room. Look at all these multi-million dollar players, all these, you know, wealthy, all these very good athletes. And this guy that they just signed for this huge contract, and they're asking him, hey, what is it like to be here? And he starts to talk, and Dave Roberts, hey, stand up. And, you know, the comments are like, hey, in this culture, we stand up. There's something about being in this locker room that translates to championship winning. Because there's been other people, other sports and other teams that have high payrolls and have the best of players, but there's also a championship culture that I feel like the Dodgers.
When you pay somebody $500 million, you can tell them to stand up.
And they do it. He jumped up too in that video. But anyways, that I think there is something that we can see when you get – and it's the same thing in God's house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So when there's a standard, you know, you're coming to God's house. As a people, and I know we attempt to do this in our church, that the values that we have in this house, we want to, not that we're telling people to stand up, but there's a seriousness to a reverence to the word of God, a reverence to the presence of God.
Well, we talk about an altar call all the time too, when it's like, hey, stay seated, don't be a distraction, right?
Yeah.
We're fishing for souls right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to get people saved. And so trying to always build that culture mm-hmm. of honor and reverence to what God is doing in yep. that moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it is important.
And what does that translate to? It's an understanding that people will bring their unsaved friends and loved ones because they know there's going to be a time that is going to, they're going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel and an altar call, an opportunity to surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus. And that is an overtime thing that we don't, hey, programming can change, methodologies can change, but the heart of what we're trying to do, that has not changed. And I think, again, there's, not that there's champion churches, but God is a champion.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And so he wins and his kingdom wins. So that's always really cool. But anyway, see, we were able to segue that.
There you go.
today, Pastor Brian, I wanted to talk a little bit about from this. We're in this message, a sermon series, really. But Pastor Dan kind of did a one-off, or he'll do a couple. I want to call them episodes. A couple sermons on this topic, but it's really cool about walking with God or a walk with God. And I know a couple things stood out to me. One of them was the idea, this analogy of you'll know somebody by their walk.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's their gait or, you know, their slouch, you know, or like, you know, a limp or whatever it might be. And, you know, he walked out in front depending on what service he might have gone to and kind of did a limp. And there's distinct walks. And the parallel for our walk in life, right? How do people look at us in our life and know that we walk with Jesus?
Yeah.
So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I think when he did that and he did those different walks, it really did a great job at visualizing mm-hmm. What people see in us as Christians, right? Yeah. Because you can tell somebody by their walk. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if we all walked outside of church the way we do once we get out of the car at church, what would the world look like?
Yeah, that's good.
Because I think that's I'm not saying, look, we all do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You look around and you, there's people there.
Yeah.
We teach our kids like, hey man, we're in church.
Yeah.
Right. You need to be respectful. Well, you need to be respectful every day, mm-hmm. not just because we're in church. Right.
Yeah.
But we take close attention to it because we understand the surroundings that we're in. But when you understand that the word of God calls us to this walk every day.
Yeah.
Everywhere that we go. Just yesterday I was, looking to drop something off that I needed to send back, through FedEx. And I'm like, where do they, do FedEx in Yucaipa? So I Google it and they do it at Walgreens. So I walk into Walgreens mm-hmm. and sure enough, I run into somebody that works at Walgreens that attends our church.
Yeah.
And you know, what if I'm out there, you know, in a bad mood or being a bad representation of who Jesus is? And then is this person going to be able to receive from me next time they come into church? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not living my life mm-hmm. the way that we challenge people to live their life. And I think, you know, so when you take that aspect, well, you're a pastor. No, that every single one of us is trying to minister to somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to reach someone, or we should be.
Yeah.
And so what does that look like? Because how are we going to reach the people in our workplace?
Yeah.
If the Jesus that we tell everybody that we go to visit on Sunday at church, what'd you do this weekend? I went to church.
Yeah.
Well, what stands out? What makes you different?
Yeah.
What's going to make them feel like, okay, there's transformation and change in our life. And I think that's why the walk is so important. And even like, you know, the Pastor Dan was talking about the limps, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you can tell when people are injured. And I think we can, even with our Christian walks, a lot of us, I could probably go as far as at some point, all of us have been injured one way or another,
right?
Whether it's through relationship, whether it's through, you know, people that are in our family, whether it's through friendships, whatever the case may be, every single one of us has sustained a wound from someone. Mm-hmm. But we need to be so careful that we're not allowing that wound to dictate how we walk.
Yeah.
Because people will see that. And then we're walking in unforgiveness and we're walking in being bound by our past or whatever the case may be. And so it's why it's so important that we work towards these things in our Christian life.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that you can't just overcome something that's been a part of your life in 50 years. God redeems us from it. He delivers us from it. He helps us. But now you have so many years of living your life a certain way that you got to now learn how to do life differently. So it takes time, but are we working at, you know, you think you get knee surgery.
Yeah.
You can tell when somebody's had knee surgery when they first come out of surgery, mm-hmm. right? But over time, when somebody sees like, oh, I've had my knee replaced. Oh, you have?
Right.
I would have never known.
Yeah.
Why? Because you worked at the rehab, right? You've worked at getting stronger. Yeah. You've worked at building. Now you can tell someone who's had knee surgery and has never worked the rehab the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Because they keep that limp.
Well, I want to stick in this analogy because I think it's a great thing, because I think I want to encourage our listeners as well, because at face value, if we're not careful, we'll walk away with the idea of I need to get good at faking it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like you said, like, oh, I'm hurting. You know, as a guy, I don't feel like I'm that old, but there's been times I've hurt my back and it had me like walking a certain way. But I didn't want to show that I was hurting in that way. So what did I do? I learned how to kind of put on a different.
Yeah.
But what happens when you are limping over doing one side? Well, you end up actually hurting the other side, right? Because you were overcompensating in one area. And so I know you're not saying this, but I think it's worth pulling out of this that by no means are we saying, hey, learn how to fake a walk. Act like you're walking like a Christian when you're really not. Because
that's why the process is so important.
And that's what
it's the rehabilitation.
It's the rehabbing. It's like, yeah, you're walking with a limp. Hey, let's get a cane. Who's a cane? A brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, the friendship, getting into church, finding discipleship, right? Those can be people that will come alongside us, right? Come, you know, when you're hurting, you have someone, you see someone getting pulled off the field, right? A teammate comes and picks them up and walks with them a lot. You know, they're not putting a lot of pressure. There's a tender area. And we do journey with people. I know when my wife and I had the challenge of losing our baby, man, we were wounded. And people came alongside us, picked us up. If you would have made me have to act like I wasn't limping, I would have been a mess.
Yeah.
And so the idea was you're not allowed to bleed, you're not allowed to be hurt, you have to just walk it off. You know how we teach our kids, walk it off. The idea is like, hey, if we're hurt, we get the healing we need, the rehab. I love that analogy of it. So it's not a mask.
We even talk sports, right?
Right.
So you look at Niners fan, right? My favorite player.
We're praying.
Fred Warner, best linebacker in the NFL. And so here he gets hurt, right? Has this knee injury that's getting ready to take him out for the season, right? And so they come out. This dude can't stand up. You can tell he's hurt. Everybody's surrounding him. Everybody's worried. Everybody's concerned. The guy gets on the cart to get wheeled out. And what does he do? You can see that he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's got a thumbs up, right? He's smiling. Is he dealing with stuff on the inside? But he's like, yeah, man, look it. I'm going to be back. We know he's going to be back.
Yeah.
We know he's going to rehab. We know he's going to put the work in. We know that he's going to do the things. So what does he do? Then he gets surgery done. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He's like, hey, man, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's where it's like, okay, let's not hide about the fact that there's things going on in the world.
Yeah.
But encourage people. You know, I loved one of the things my sister, as she was going through chemo, and she was going through this journey, and there's times that she's posting through this journey and she's in faith.
Yep.
Then there's times that she's posting in this journey. She knows that God's going to come through, but she's being very raw and real in her emotions.
Yeah.
How she's feeling in that moment, because she's trying to let people know, hey, you're going to have some bad days sometimes.
Yep.
But here's what you do. You come alongside people that are going to encourage you through it. It doesn't mean that you won't ever have a limp.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you won't ever wake up and have a bad day. See, the enemy wants, well, okay, so you're having a bad day today. So obviously this isn't working. Right. That's what the enemy wants you to think.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you understand this is a process, okay, so I'm going to go through this process. Where I am today is not where I'm going to be tomorrow. I can be raw.
Mm-hmm.
I can be real. Now, you have to be raw and real with people that understand, right? And that are going to build you up and lift you up and help you get through it. But I think that's the important. You can go through a road to recovery.
Yeah.
And have people with you, but have a strong support
with
you through that process. But understand where I am today. I'm going to show progress.
Yeah.
Right? There's going to be a moment where, like you say, okay, so you have a surgery.
Yeah.
And then you're with a walker.
Yep.
And then you're with a cane.
Yep.
And then you're taking steps without the cane.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like?
Yep.
And going through that process. Yep. And I think that's important to show, like, hey, I'm going through this traumatic thing that took place in my life, but I'm going to overcome it. And I'm going to share the journey with people. And I'm going to let them see what Christ has done from the beginning to the end. Pastor Dan says it all the time. Come back in a year. Mm-hmm. Tell us, right?
Yeah.
Keep coming consistently within a year.
Yeah.
And in a year, when look back at your life.
Yeah.
What has God done if you've given him that year?
Yeah. Because there'll be setbacks. There'll be hard days in there. There'll be, you know, you'll have fallen short. You'll, but yet in a year you'll see. I love your Fred Warner analogy because I think why was he able to do that in that moment is because he knew who he was.
Yeah.
I'm an athlete. My body's going to heal. This sucks. I'm probably going to be out, but I will be back. And I think if we know who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
Man, we'll fall. You know what? This injury is not who I am. This setback is not who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heal from this. I might limp for a little bit. I might need to go to rehab. I might need to, you know, make proper adjustments, but it's not going to take me out. Yeah. And that to me, that's what I see. Like, this isn't taking me out. I'll be back. I'm fine. And
what does that do for the fans?
Right.
People are cheering.
Yep, because they know.
Because of the confidence that he has in his ability.
Right.
How much can the world champion,
come on,
if we showed we understand, not because of my ability, but because of his ability and what God's going to get me through. And if you can champion behind that and let the world know, listen, I may be getting hit right now, but there's a God on my side.
Yeah. Who's this goes to, sorry to interrupt you.
Pastor Brian, go ahead.
But I think to that point, how many non-believers have you talked to that were not so much impressed by the blessings that I've gotten? Oh my gosh, I just got to come to this Jesus because this guy's so blessed. We've heard that.
Yeah.
But how many more for, man, I got to go to this Jesus guy because even when you were down, you stayed on Jesus. Even when you were suffering, you found hope in Jesus. So it's actually in those moments when we can point to Jesus and it's a reflection because, man, it's when your faith doesn't waver when it's hard. That's more impressive than because anyone can love a God that's blessing them, right? Anyone can see God's faithfulness on the upside, but can I see God's faithfulness on the downside when you can't always tell? And I think that's the challenge for us as believers, man. If we're in a hard season, we don't got to fake like we're not, but let's also not forget who got us through the last time we were hurt.
Yeah.
Who got us through the last surgery, so to speak, to stay in that analogy? Who got us through the last stint of physical therapy that we had to get through to get ourselves back on our feet? Because God's faithful every time.
Yeah.
And that is a testimony to us and those around us. I was actually just yesterday, it's funny that you mentioned it. I went to a bakery and I was a bit in a rush. I'm not always on the road. I'm kind of, I don't know why. An anxious driver maybe, and I'm in a rush. I pull into the parking lot, rush out of my car, and I saw that this other lady, like, I was in the parking lot first, so I would probably get in first, so then I would be first in line. But I don't know why, I was just like, you know what, I saw that I rushed, and I didn't think it'd be a good look that I rush in, and then I'm going to barely beat her to the door, you know, so I just let her go ahead of me. I let her go ahead of me. She said, oh, thank you. Then we get inside, standing in line, and she goes, Pastor, is that you?
Like, yeah.
And it's like, oh. And the idea is like, if I'm this fake person, hey, I'm smiling at the back door.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, like you're saying, the mask that we put on, or hey, on your best behavior at church, but out in the world, get out of my way. Don't cut me off.
Yeah.
Don't be in front of me. Like, let's be who we are.
So I think what's cool about that thought too, Pastor Antonio, is look, we have a natural instinct to want to just... Mm-hmm. be in our flesh and just get done.
Yeah.
Right. So that I think acknowledging that, but then because the Holy Spirit lives and abides on the inside of you and then you have this check, like, man, I should probably just let her go.
Yeah.
Right. Now, because of your relationship with God, because this is a walk that you choose to do right now, this isn't, you have to choose this walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have to purpose it in your mind. Like even you're saying, like, hey, my back hurts, but I'm going to choose to walk upright today.
Yeah.
Even though I'm wounded. I'm not faking it.
Right.
But greater is he that is in me than he. Right. So I understand that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stand tall because I understand I may be in pain.
Yeah.
But this isn't going to stop
That's
me.
Right. That's good.
I'm going to continue to push forward. I'm going to put my flesh aside. And then because of that, here's this woman that you may not, I'm Pastor Antonio, right? It's like, this is what we have the responsibility and weight of carrying when we go out in the world, because we don't know who's lifting up their hands next to us on the side of us. We don't know what people are doing. There are so many people, especially you come to the Rock If you attend a church of 30 people and this isn't like everybody in that room.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you come into our sanctuary, you can think like nobody knows who I am, but mm-hmm. there's always somebody watching.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's so important to know that. So when you go out, that people are always watching. People that are coming in, they're looking around, they're seeing who's there, they're watching, and they're gonna see you outside of this realm of church.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so good.
What does our walk look like? Mm-hmm. What Pastor Dan, I loved the comment that he made. He says, you know, you spend a long time designing the life that you have, but it's a lifelong building it.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that it's so important that we know that, because we don't want to get discouraged when we make a mistake mm-hmm. or when we do act a fool or when we're not smiling that one time.
Right.
Because we just received, you know, because, you know, unfortunately, and you can attest to this, and we've heard our pastors talk about this. Like, you go to the store, and if you're having a bad day and somebody assumes that they saw you and or that you saw them and you didn't, right? But they're offended already because, you know, pastor saw me at the grocery store. They looked the other way and it's like, man, I was just in a hurry and I didn't even see you.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, don't hold my worst day against me, because we're all going to have a bad day.
Yeah.
But I think it's a consistent walk, right? You see somebody walk in with a gangster walk. Mm-hmm. And the only time you assume they're a gangster is when they're always walking like a gangster.
That's right.
Right? You're right. Yeah. But when somebody walks in like they just want some swag all of a sudden and they got this gangster, like, man, who are you trying to fool coming in here acting like a gangster? You understand that walk is not their normal walk. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to hold that walk against you. Mm-hmm. But even when somebody comes in with a limp, you don't normally walk with a limp. So I see you. Hey, can I pray with you?
Yeah.
Can I talk with you about this? Yeah. Is there something that you need? Right. Because outside of the ordinary, mm-hmm. but if it's when you're consistent in those other walks that I think, so it's like, we're not going to hold something against. And I think it's important that we know that we're not going to hold it against because somebody's having a bad day.
Yeah.
Right. We see it here all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if my wife held against me every single time I had a bad day, even my daughter and I were having this conversation yesterday because she had said something to me and we had a lot going on in the moment. And so my instant reaction was probably not the most loving. Yeah. And then I caught myself and I started joking around with her afterwards. She's like, Dad, you were kind of mean just a second ago. And now you're trying to joke to like make it all better.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I can recognize that I was short.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like, so you see like, okay, I'm not going to hold this against you. We're having fun. We're doing, there was something that was said and you were short. I think that's where it's so important that we understand. It's like, man, we're not here to beat people up for making a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, but it is important to know that there is a rehab process in this walk. And we've been wounded. We've been injured. The devil has done a really good job at beating us all up.
Right.
You know, every single one of us has a testimony.
Yeah.
And so, but we got to allow God to do the rehab in our heart. Mm-hmm. So that way, when we walk in love, that we learn how to walk in love with people, that God can learn this year of increase, that God can know that he can trust us with more.
That's so good.
Because how can he trust us with more if we're not doing with what he wants us to do with what we have now?
Yeah.
You know, all of us want more.
Right.
God, give me more influence. You know, God give, and not, I'm not talking worldly stuff, right? I'm talking about like, give me more. I want to be able to reach those people at my work. I want to be able to reach those people at the grocery store. God, I want to be able to reach those people at my gym. I want to reach those people at Juice It Up, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, right? I want to be able to do that. God's like, okay, but then are we putting the word on the inside of us regularly so that we're able to have those conversations? Are, like you had said in the beginning of this, one of the reasons why I feel comfortable and confident coming in at a phone call 15 minutes before a podcast is because we've established this relationship and we work at this constantly. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard for me to have these conversations with you because we do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we've worked those processes. And so it's what comes out.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. If we build our lives that way,
we'll
be quick to pivot.
That's right. Yeah.
When things happen, because we've already established a rapport.
That's so good. You know, I think of, I want to zoom out just a little bit because I know we've been making a lot of reference to walk with God. And before on camera, you know, we're like, oh, where's this analogy come from? Because we do see a lot of references in the Bible. And when you're talking about a believer, how's your walk with God? Or some of these things, as Christians, we've heard this our whole life. What does this mean? But again, just kind of establishing our walk with God or your journey. Again, I think has become popularized lately. Like, this is my journey, my life with the Lord, or whatever it might be. Like, I think the important takeaway for that is to recognize when we're saying, hey, your walk with God and what does that look like, is, hey, our life following Jesus is, to use the analogy, a walk or a journey. We are disciples. We are followers of Christ. Again, some of these popular concepts. And so we think when we follow, we're walking alongside him.
Yeah.
And when we put ourselves in the position of disciples, like when you read the Gospels, you see that there was Jesus with his disciples. They walked places. They were following him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where this idea comes from, that as followers of Jesus, we are not following a church, not a ministry, not, you know, social media accounts like, you know, you follow them. We are not our favorite pastor. We're following Jesus. And I think we see Paul talk about follow Christ follow me as I follow Christ. So yeah, there are leaders that God places in the body of Christ that we can emulate, that we can look to. But we are all on our own walk with God, and that's where that idea comes from. Do you want to share anything out of that spot?
Yeah, I think it's interesting just because, you know, like you even said, Jesus and his disciples, they walked from point A to point B. When they were going to minister, they were going to do something, there was a walk. But then what did that look like along the way, right? Jesus often, as they were walking from one location to the next, he would find himself wanting to pray. Mm-hmm. He would find himself where he would have compassion for someone, and that's when he would operate in healing, where he'd operate in miracles of feeding the hungry, right? And so we see that continual Christian walk. This is what we're supposed to do. Like, here's the scripture. Like you said, Christ followers, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the life that we're supposed to emulate. It's extremely hard when you live in a busy state, right? A busy area where it's just, like you said, I think part of the reason why I drive anxious is because everybody's driving anxious. Right. And it's like, man, I got to be in a hurry. Everybody else is in a hurry. And it's making me feel like I got to be in a hurry. And so sometimes, but we have to slow down, you know, and look at what's going on in this world around us and make sure that we're taking time to pray. You see homeless. You know, one of the things I teach in one of my Bible calls, you see the homeless and it's like, oh yeah, God, like, do something with them. Yeah. And it's like, you know, our governor or our mayor or whatever the case is not doing anything with the homeless. Yeah. And he's like, man, I called you to be a Christian. Do something. Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
No one's stopping you
From getting out and do, like, have you tried to lay hands? Well, I don't know that I can do that. Have you tried to pray? Have you tried to feed? Have you tried all of these other things? Now, obviously, if we did it collectively, right, we'd have far more impact. And, you know, it's like, well, every area I turn, there's six or seven homeless. Yeah. Like, when will I ever get to work? Well, again, that's when all of us are doing our part. But I do think it's important. It is a walk, right? Now, it's funny because we were talking about this before and we can get like we don't have to be in such a hurry to get from point A to point B, right? We understand I need to make progress along the way.
Yeah.
But I need to understand that this is a process.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important because what we don't want, I mean, if I'm not the man I was when I first got saved 25 years ago, right? But I'm also not the man I was after I'd been saved for 5 years, 20 years ago.
Right.
And I'm not the man I was 10 years after I got saved, 15 years ago. And I'm not the man I was 10, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can keep going back because every year I'm making progress. People look at it and it's like, man, how did you go from sticking needles in your arm? Well, I went from sticking needles in my arm to getting off drugs to going to the clubs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I had to get rid of alcohol. And then I quit smoking cigarettes, right? Yeah. And then I started cleaning up my mouth. And then I started watching what I watched on TV. And then I started, like, there's a process because I lived a certain life where it's like, dude, there were no regulation,
right?
And all of a sudden now I'm living this life. And so I can't get hard on myself
because
a word comes out of my mouth. I've been saved for a year. I've been using, like, Pastor Dan, he talks from the pulpit, like, instantly his mouth was cleaned up.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Right. But he'll also say there were other things that he had to continue to work on.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we can say, like, look, every single one of us is on it. So it is a walk. As long as we're stepping forward.
Yep. Come on.
Then we can trust, like, God, hey, you're continuing to renew my mind through your word that you will prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah.
But it's going to take time.
Yeah.
Right. So we just have to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take steps backwards. You fall down, you get yourself up, you dust yourself off, you continue to move forward. Continue in the walk and the direction that God has, and you will continue to make progress. Yeah. And I think we did, I actually tried to challenge you to do, I forget the name of the hike in Colorado that I was trying to get you to go to.
Oh, yeah, the steps one.
Yeah, the steps one. I forget what it was called. But I mean, we did that when we went out there. And it was massive, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at this thing from the bottom of the hill, you're like, there is no way I'm ever going to get up there, yeah. right? And so we start to do it. And I had to know at some point, like it was, I'm not in shape as like I should be. But I wasn't going to give up. I was going to yeah. keep going. Right. And it was one step at a time. And eventually I'm at the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. Right. And all I had to do, and I told Melissa when we were getting ready to go, it's like, look, I'll commit to doing it. As long as, you know, if I got to take a break, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep going up. I'm going to keep taking the steps up to the top until we finish the climb.
Yeah.
Just give me a chance to take my breath, right? She's got these little legs and she can and she can hike better than I can. I don't understand. Yeah. She never works out. I'm going to get in trouble. She never works out. But yet she'd go on these hikes and yeah. I work out every, yeah. like multiple times a week and I can't hike the way that yeah. she can. But you know, and she's a beast when she goes up there. But that's the thing. It's like, and she, okay, as long as we're going forward, yeah. right? And we finished it. We yeah. finished the climb. That's the point. Take your breaths, right? If you're saying, man, this hurts too bad, I need to sit for a minute. I need to drink some water. I need to breathe.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Right? Seems like I just got to get involved in all these ministries and all these things and do all of this stuff because I got a lot of time to make. Take a breath. Mm-hmm. When you feel overwhelmed with life, don't be afraid to go tell your, like, hey, I need a week.
Yeah.
I can't volunteer this week. I got stuff going on. I can't serve. I just need to take a breath. I got something going on with my family. I got something going on with my, I'm a Christian. I got to put my big boy pants on. I'm strong. I got God's grace. And all of that's true.
Yeah.
But we also have to be real with the fact that we are on this walk, mm-hmm. right? And there's going to be times we're out of breath. There's going to be times that we're tired. There's going to be times that Jesus had to go. Jesus went to be yeah. alone and pray. Yeah. What a concept. Yeah. Like, yeah. oh man, you got to be around people all the time. No, Jesus was like, dude, y'all are taking a lot out of me right now. I need to go be by myself.
Makes you wonder, you know, the fact that we know he was tempted in every way and did not sin. There's the correlation between he retreated. He retreated, like overstimulated. Jesus was like, I gotta go retreat yeah. so I don't sin.
yeah,
because if I stay around you guys too long, you know, I don't know.
I might strike the rock myself. These people, what's going on?
Well, on that note, Pastor Brian, thank you so much for being a part. That's the encouragement for all of us today. Our walk, one step at a time. Don't do it alone. Man, it's going to be good. People will know us by our walk.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe. If you have any questions, let us know. We'd love to serve you guys. We're praying for you. Talk to you next time.
Yeah. Love you guys.